a shot in the dark. Wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, kids, here we go. Posted up at my kitchen table at my home. Got the house all to myself. No, everyone else was at work. Decided to record from home today. It's snowing. It's ugly outside. It's been snowing all night. It's finally tapering off a little bit. I don't know what the final numbers were, but we got at least 8 inches, I think. And it was just cold below zero. So it's like just underneath it, it's just ice. And it was just cold enough overnight, and it's going to be cold enough tonight that the de-icers just don't get down the pavement. And so it was a little rough. So, I had to get up at the crack of dawn, at the butt crack of dawn. I cracked somebody up who was listening one time because they said, "You said butt crack of dawn on your show." I'm like, you know, this is the bread box is a little different. It's like, I mean, come on, really? In this world where we're at today, are we really that are we that offended at the word butt? I don't think so. Oh yeah, so I had to get up at the crack of dawn and get on the road to get down to the shop on time to get open this morning. And I almost didn't open the shop because it was just so, I knew it was going to be dead. I knew it was just going to be an absolute ghost town, and for the most part it was. Though I was a little surprised how many people did come in and how many people came in from the building next door. But still pretty dang dead. And I tell you what, so I got to see how the Cruze, the new car, did. I got the 2012 Chevy Cruze now, thanks to my lovely family in Kansas. Got a 2012 Chevy Cruze that I bought off them. Oh, man, I'm going to miss my Passat, though. I mean, it's got 212,000 miles on it, and I've been driving it into the ground, and there's more wrong with it than what it's worth right now, but I'm going to miss that car. I love that car. But this has been kind of a new adventure, something different. It drives different. It's a stick. So I got to get out, and I tell you what, it's the first time I've driven this car in the snow. And it's certainly the first time I've driven a stick in the snow in a long time. Now, I tell you what, I kind of like having half the time I like having a stick in the snow because you can use the gears, you can drop gears down. And I could do that on my Passat with that Tiptronic, kind of like you can use the shifter manually. I could, you know, but I just never really was. I was always, it just never seemed like it worked as well. It just kind of freaked me out downshifting in that thing. But with a stick, you can downshift and use the gears to slow you down as you're coming up towards something. You know, big trucks do that. They call it what? Jake braking and engine braking. You'll see those signs that say no Jake braking or engine brake mufflers required or whatever. But you can use your engine to slow yourself down a little bit, and it works better with a stick. So I like that. But man, going from a stop into first on super slick snow with a clutch is a skill that I have not held on to very well. And it didn't help that I was wearing hiking boots this morning too. So I put on my Vasks for that long walk from the back door to the garage. My car's in a garage and I park in a garage at work. But you know, there's a good 20 feet and the snow was kind of thick too. I didn't want to start the day off by getting all kinds of snow down in my Birkenstock chef clogs. So, which is weird. I just realized I've been wearing these chef clogs, not this exact pair, but I've been wearing this relative model of Birkenstock kind of plastic clog that chefs wear because I work behind counters, and I just kind of gotten used to slipping in and out of them, wearing them all the time, you know. Since the early 90s, I think I got my first one pair of these in like 95, 96. It's like, wow, that's amazing to me. It's funny when I think I can't establish habits, and I always joke about like number 265. I mean, episode 265 today. I can't believe that I've done 265 of anything. But I mean, I'm always shocked when I find a habit I've accidentally made. And I think that, you know, we make habits all the time. We just make bad ones, you know. Bad ones seem to be easier to make. Anyway, so I drove in, and I tell you what, the thing is, I don't mind driving on bad. I kind of like driving in snow and ice and like bad conditions. It's kind of fun. It's a challenge. I kind of like the dopamine of the challenge of like having to think three steps ahead. And, you know, it's like you're having to do it. The problem is that other people are idiots. Other people are straight up morons. I mean, there were big semi trailers on a very slick highway this morning going 60 miles an hour in the fast lane. I'm like, you're just asking the jackknife and cause a giant wreck and hurt people and slow everything down. I just don't understand that. Anyway, so I did in fact make it to work. I left kind of like on time to even like late getting out of the house. I meant to get out really early, but I was kind of trying to decide whether I was even going to open on time or not. And I left kind of late and I still got open roughly on time, which goes to show you that a place like Denver, my commute was the same speed, about the same time, maybe even slightly faster when the place is trashed. Why? Because people actually slow down a little bit and you don't have as many like backups and like these crunches and everything. If everyone would just chill out, stop tailgating each other, and just actually drive like normal human beings, we would all get to work really easily in the morning, but no one listens. Here's my required traffic rant of the day. But at least this was traffic rant Blizzard edition. So the shop was slow today, but I kind of like sometimes working just like a dead shop when you kind of know it's going to stay dead for the most part. You know, you get up every once in a while someone comes in and you can make some conversation, kind of break your concentration just enough to kind of reboot and get up and stretch a little bit, you know, and kind of sit back down and start working on something. And so, I read this article about how it turns out that you can, people think that you can just like sit all day and then work out really hard, like several times a week, and that will counteract the health detriment of sitting all the time. They figured out that sitting is the new smoking, you know. It's like, and they're always telling you get up once an hour and walk and everything. Turns out that working out like that doesn't do it, but walking does. Walking like every day does help counter the act that, you know. And I was reading that new Tools for Titans book by Tim Ferriss, and he was talking about how to get into ketosis, which is, you know, that state where your body is burning fat instead as its primary fuel when you don't give it a bunch of carbohydrates and you give it lower protein and lots of fat, you know, and you get over in that fat burning mode. And it turns out that the best thing for it is long amounts of brisk walking. And it's funny, I remember reading somewhere that cavemen and people in hunter-gatherer societies, the average man in a hunter-gatherer society walks an average of 4 to 10 miles a day, just like in their normal, like going to get stuff and everything. So we really are kind of, our species is built to be up on our feet and moving around like a lot of the day. So, but the good news is that I've been like having these really tight hips, especially when I have to sit in an office chair for a while. So if you're sitting in work, listen to this. I'll try to find the link. Maybe I have the link or maybe I saved it in my pocket, but there's a stretch called the yoga squat where you put your legs out kind of wide and you squat down and you kind of rest and you sit down into kind of the tension. And you put your hands together in the middle, kind of like a real stylized version of praying, kind of straight up. And you dig your elbows into the inside of your knees and you kind of push, you know, and you're kind of like stretching down like that. And I tell you what, that really, really, really works on opening up my hips. So there you go. So I was hitting it today. I was like getting up, making a coffee. The person would leave. I would kind of do the yoga squat stretch and then I'd sit back down. And I tell you what, I ended the whole morning. I was sitting and working at the computer a lot this morning and I didn't get the back pain I've been getting. I didn't get the tight hips I've been getting. I'm telling you, get up every few minutes, every 30 minutes to an hour, just walk around a little bit, yoga squat. I mean, the yoga squat takes 10 seconds, 15 tops. Really worth doing. There's my commercial for the yoga squat. So I was working on this contract management proposal for a shop that Calix might be helping build this shop. We are building this shop, but we might end up running the shop. And so, and kind of like using it as a prototype and a model, right? So I'm working on this and I sent a link over and shared this Google document with a friend of mine who's on the project. And it said, and then I came back to after waiting on a customer and it said, do you want to allow Google to use Google Talk or something like that on Docs? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And it kind of rebooted the page. And all of a sudden there were all these like things in red all over my document. And they were really good questions about the document. Like, you know, do you want to insert a reference here about this? And, you know, why should they see this? You know, da, da, da. And I'm like reading this. So I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And for about 10 seconds, I thought it was like some artificial intelligent like thing, to, like a tool that Google had built in. It turned out that my friend that I shared it had got on and put a bunch of notes on the document. So, oh, not the sharpest pencil in the box, me. But, you know, hey, I can do this and I'm pretty. So, oh, anyway. So, all right, well, let's head off to the break. And, when we get back, I have, more shenanigans up my sleeve. You are listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew Whaley, and, we'll be right back.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counterposition, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right. Oh, goodness, man. I love snow days. This is like, I just love, especially like I love snow days when I have the house to myself. And you can just kind of piddle around and, you know, I mean, it's silent now because I'm doing my show. But, you know, I need to find a way to get like some kind of a headset or something so I could do this show while I like piddle around and make some coffee and stuff. I mean, because I think different modes of movement, I mean, I'm a certain way. You've heard me joke about how the show seems a little different when I'm holding the microphone. Today I've got it on the arm. The show feels a little different when I'm holding the mic. The body language matters, you know. I've talked about that TED talk about the power poses and all that. You know, if you smile, you will start feeling happier just because your body is built to smile. You can literally put a pen in your mouth, just bite sideways on an ink pen, just put it in your mouth. And because the sides of your mouth go up and your mouth makes the shape that you do when you smile, it actually will release some of the chemicals you get when you're happy that help increase happiness. It's weird, right? But you know, body postures and body language and movement really affects how you think about things and how you talk about things. You know, when I remember whenever I was first starting off in the business world, I was like, you know, listening to all those sales tapes and stuff, you know, Zig Ziglar, you know, with these different kinds of closes, you know. Tell me, Mr. Prospect, would you like the implied close? Tell me, Mr. Prospect, would you like the green one or the blue one? You know, it's like, you know, all that kind of stuff and self-help tapes and stuff like that. And, you know, some of that stuff that I had to do at one point, and I had to do this in a couple of jobs I worked in, is cold calling. And you're having to cold call. And one of the tricks to cold calling, or the one of the tricks to any kind of like business call, like if you're applying for a job or you're making an inquiry, something like that, is to do it standing up, preferably kind of where you can pace back and forth, walk around. That just gives you a good vibe, a good feeling, you know. It makes you feel like you're empowered or you're like on top of it, you know. But so I don't know, it'd be interesting to do the show. I tried to do a show one time driving in the car, but I just didn't have my tech down. But I think I might be able to pull that off now with this current setup I have. I wanted to try one on the way back from Kansas, and I didn't get to do it. So, I mean, in this new year, maybe I want to see how many weird places and how many weird situations I can record a show from. One thing I would love to do, I don't know if I could pull this off. It would be hard, but I want to do it. I want to record a show from the hot tub at the gym, like with the old Russian guys and the old Japanese lady. That would be amazing. I would really love to be able to do that and have a second mic to interview them and stuff. How fun would that be? That's the only, you're only that you, that is literally the only place that you would ever get something like that would be on the counter position. So many ideas, so little time. All right. So, you know, speaking of doing a show in the car and not getting to do it, there was a few things that I didn't get to finish up talking about driving back from Kansas. And I want to just kind of, my trip to Kansas, a few things I didn't hit, just a couple of funny stories and just some observations. So for one thing, I got locked in an adoration chapel. So there's this thing I was talking about. Did I already tell the story? I went on my little rant about the Mass Times is the Yelp of religion. But anyway, I went to this place. I think I did tell this story, didn't I? I got locked in an adoration chapel. Anyway, if I told the story already, you don't have to drink because I think I might have already told it, but I'm not sure and I'm not going to go back and listen, but it's worth telling again. So I go to this place, go to confession. They were having a wedding. This is sounding really familiar. I've told this story before. Anyway, went in this adoration chapel to kind of kill some time, got locked in the adoration chapel. Couldn't get out, had to like flag down a driver and get let out. And then I got accused. Now I remember that's the part that I didn't tell you about. I told you about getting locked in the adoration chapel. I got subtly accused of being scrupulous. Now, I went to confession. Now, I confessed an action that is, in fact, I confess a sin that's a mortal sin. It'd been a few days since my last confession, but I had something I needed to go to confession for. So I go to confession. I tell this random priest, and he says, you know, it's only been 3 days since your last confession. I mean, I think you might want to look at whether or not you have scrupulosity or, you know, you don't want to be scrupulous. And I was like, and this guy, I kind of talked a little bit. He had kind of, and I wouldn't call him like a liberal, but he had kind of a little bit of a less than orthodox edge to him. And I just wanted to be like, you know, really in this day and age, first of all, I am anything but scrupulous. I would do good to get some scrupulosity in my spiritual life. And, you know, I mean, if a guy, you're going to tell a guy you're supposed to like, just assume that this is okay. And you should just kind of wait a week or something. I'm just like, it really annoyed me. So this is kind of, if you don't go to confession all the time and you don't understand what the phrase scrupulosity means, look it up. There's people who get kind of a religious form of OCD and they get real scrupulous about things and they kind of go overboard and they're constantly just like confessing every little thing. And that's not me at all. Anyway, so in one trip to one church, I got locked in an adoration chapel without Jesus. He wasn't even there. It was an empty monstrance. And, but he might have, I'm not sure, he might have been in a little tabernacle there. I'm not sure. I couldn't really tell. It didn't look like there was actually a tabernacle there. But I got accused of being scrupulous. So there you go. But after being accused of being scrupulous, I drove across Kansas in my new car. And, you know, every time, I remember the first time I drove across Western Kansas, I was with my mom and I was moving to Thomas Aquinas College, 97. It was the late summer of 97. And the last thing I did in Columbia, Missouri, my mom came up and the last thing that I did was my mama. I took my mom and we went to see Sunvolt at the Blue Note. So I took my mom to see one of the three bands that came out of the collapse of Uncle Tupelo. And they were out supporting, I guess, 97. I don't know if they still would have been Trace. Maybe it would have been Trace they were supporting. Anyway, Sunvolt, incredible band. Sunvolt, Trace, one of my favorite records in the history of the world. And I took my mom to the Blue Note, this beer-soaked, like, college place to go see music, to see Sunvolt. Then we drove across Kansas the next day. No, I take that back. It wouldn't have been the next day because we stopped in and saw my family in Kansas before. So it would have been the day after that. So then we're driving to Colorado, and I'm seeing Western Kansas for the first time. And I just remember just being struck by how flat it was and just how far you could see, you know? It's just, I mean, the first time you see that far, I thought it was starkly beautiful, especially because it was that time of year we watched, like, full-on thunderstorms develop, move across the plains, trash some small town, and move on. And the storm was anywhere near us ever, you know. Pretty cool experience. But, you know, I remember I just read my journals from the 90s not too long ago. And I remember writing, I found a little place where I wrote about this. And I talked about how it looked like off into the horizon, there was just nothing but crosses with the hands connected with these lines, like, you know, or something like that, you know. And it was because they were the power lines, you know, going down the side of the road. Interesting experience to see that the first time. But so ever since then, hasn't been nearly as interesting. You're just kind of like, you know, you're in like hour three or four of your trip, and you're praying with a fervor that you've never prayed in your life. And you're praying for a tree, or a slight bend in the road, a tumbleweed, some roadkill to dodge, something. I mean, you could literally drive with your knee. I mean, you could just, like, it's just, if your car, and, you know, and then it got really annoying because there was a really nasty crosswind. So I had to hold the car in the lane, and my left hand was cramping because I just had to have constant pressure on that side of my hand holding the car in the lane because the crosswind was so strong. The last thing I want to talk about with that is truck stop culture. Just the stuff that you see for sale at truck stops is absolutely amazing. I saw so many things, like jewelry that was like set up in this big, like this, like jewelry that was supposed to be like ancient jewelry from like some alien artifacts. My favorite one was a whole bunch of blankets I saw in one truck stop that were Walking Dead blankets. They were like different characters from The Walking Dead. And they were in like these fleece blankets with prints on them. And then later at another truck stop, I saw an entire display of all these different blankets. I had Game of Thrones blankets. I was just thinking to myself, who buys a Daryl from The Walking Dead fleece blanket from a truck stop for $25. I mean, who does that? I mean, it's just, let's just file this under more of my experience with Red State, where I am ideologically Cracker Barrel, culturally Whole Foods. That's, that's what I talked about last time. That was a theme. So other than that, surfing the radio, that was another thing I loved doing. Just like you, I didn't have any CDs with me and I couldn't connect my phone. So I was just like surfing the radio, classic rock, listening to different classic rock stations. All right, let's go to the break. Enough about my road trip. I have more important things to talk about. You're listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew Whaley.
Then how we crave a hanging in a dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
People singing, please don't sting, but please don't go.
Whoa. Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, we've covered snow. We've covered idiots driving too fast, me not knowing how collaborating on a document works, getting locked in an Adoration Chapel again, and accused of being accused of scrupulosity, driving across Kansas, walking to blankets in truck stops. Oh, you know, and then I tell you what, there's just something about, I went to the break with this and I just want to hit it for a second. There's something about the radio. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a young kid, we listened to like KC95, right? That was like their KC95, real rock radio. And it was like the classic rock station, you know? That was the station I listened to. Then when I got older, they did an alternative station in St. Louis, 105.7 The Point. And I listened to The Point all the time. They played all the like current, like grunge stuff and everything, you know? But there's something about just like surfing. You're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and there's a very particular version of this I want to talk about in a second, but you're out in the middle of nowhere. You don't have CDs. And I remembered after I got back that I had one of Perry West CDs in my bags. I could have been listening to A Half Glass Full the whole time, which you can buy on iTunes. Perry West, A Half Glass Full. Kooks and Kings is my my theme music on the show. It works well to have a roommate who's a musician and a friend. I didn't have any way to connect my phone. This doesn't have Bluetooth enabled and it doesn't have an auxiliary slot. And in my car that I already owned, I had like one of those little things you plug into like the tape deck, you know, like a cassette recorder. Literally you plug it in and it connects to an auxiliary thing so you could play, you know, your iPhone or something. So that's how I listen to audiobooks and stuff. So I'm gonna have to get a new stereo for this car or something. But you get in this situation where you're like, okay, you need to listen to the radio, especially if you're tired and you know, you end up doing the like scanning the FM. So it's like, you know, country music, more country music, scary preacher, another preacher, kind of good. Listen to the preacher for a while, country music. Oh, but I like this song. Okay. Listen to that old country song, hit scan again. And then you always like hit, there's that moment, and I think everyone can relate to this moment, where you just hear that song. It's usually a classic rock song. It's not something that if you saw it on the jukebox, you would play. It's not something that if you were like flipping through like a random songs on a screen, you would go, oh, I want to listen to that. But when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and I was just listening to a bunch of like classic rock songs in the car, just scanning back and forth between these few stations, playing all this classic rock. And it was funny because it's amazing how like movies enter into this, because they had Edge of 17 by, I can't remember if that's Stevie Nicks or Fleetwood Mac, but it's Stevie Nicks singing. And I think it's Stevie Nicks' song. And it's such a sing-along song, and I could not help but picture Joan Cusack in the movie School of Rock. Like, she just loves like Nick, Stevie Nicks, and she starts singing that song. And so I was like, and so there was another during that song and in several other songs, I did something I haven't done in a really long time, because I have to be on a road trip or super bored or in kind of a goofy mood. And I was straight up dancing in the car, just like rocking out, like singing along with like these classic rock songs at the top of my lungs, and just like, you know, rocking out in the car, like dancing, like while you're driving, it's like dancing in the car, just like car rocking is something. I just like to say, if you're listening to this right now, and you're listening to it as a podcast, and you're driving home, I want you to push pause. This is your homework. I know I'm telling you to stop listening to my show for a second. I want you to just find your local classic rock station, turn it on, and whatever you hear, I want you to just like straight up rock out in the car. Just like sing along at the top of your lungs, dance in the car, shake your head, pump your fist, make an absolute fool of yourself, and then come back. Okay. We're going to wait. We're going to wait while you do that. And now you're back. See, wasn't that fun? That was amazing, wasn't it? Exactly. See, I bring so much joy into your life. And you know, the last thing about a road trip is a life skill that you get, and that is targeted you never do such targeted, strategic caffeination is when you have a long road trip. But then, like, when you have these long road, I have these long road trips sometimes. Like, usually I'm coming back from Gallup, New Mexico. Like, I do these long trips to go visit Father Josh Mayer or something. I'm going to Gallup, New Mexico this weekend, actually. But I'm flying this time because the Monument Pass gets a little ugly this time of year sometimes. But I have to get back, and I got to get some sleep and get up and work the next day. So you can't be up all night. So you can't just pound energy drinks and coffee. You got to be strategic with it. So on the way back, I was like, I nailed the strategic caffeination. I kept myself awake enough to drive, got it done, got back, went down to the shop, got some stuff done, came back to the house by like 10:30, was asleep by like 11:15. Like, I knocked it out of the park. I nailed it. I got just enough caffeine in and got it done just in time to go to sleep. So there you go. Okay, now I have completely told you every random thing. No, I haven't. I haven't told you every random thing. You know, one thing that was kind of cool, I saw a lot of signage that I had never seen before in the truck stops. I guess they're training truckers. Truckers can volunteer to be trained and study and learn all the signs and everything and figure out how to be how to recognize human trafficking. And then how to flag it and step in and stop it or call someone or whatever. So like truckers against trafficking and stuff like that. There's always signs about, you know, what to look for and stuff and everything. There's signs like I was at A&W Root Beer at a truck stop, and there was like a sign that said, are you tired of being in the life? Call this number. There's an 800 number that you could call and tell them where you're at, and they would like send cops and get you, you know, away from your pimp or whatever. But it's like, it's funny, I guess human trafficking happens. There's a lot of it that happens through the Midwest like that. And truckers are learning how to like step in and stop that kind of thing. So, you know, well done, truckers against trafficking, and whoever decided that that was a demographic that they could like tap to be eyes and ears to like help some people from being abused like that. Well done. All right. So, speaking of, I'm going to shift gears. Okay. Before I shift gears, I'm going to get into some serious stuff. I meant to get into serious stuff earlier. Shout out to Jeff Neal. So I asked you guys for feedback on the show for the new year. And of course, none of you got back to me hardly at all. Yeah. You're the worst feedbackers ever. I mean, I swear, Michael Miley and Jeff Neal are the only people that ever like send me feedback on a regular basis. And then, of course, Shiny, the Disney warrior princess, tells me stuff about my show all the time, but I see her constantly. But Jeff Neal sent me an email and took really seriously my question and gave me really great in-depth kind of advice on what he thinks my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, what I need to focus on, and what he loves about the show and what he wants when he comes to this show and everything. Well done, Jeff. Thank you. Awesome email. I didn't return your email yet, but I read it. Consider this me returning your email. Public shout out. Well done, Jeff Neal. So, speaking of abuse, I want to talk a little bit about, we're almost at the end of the break, and I didn't mean to let this go this long before talking about this. So I'll probably spend, most of the last segment on this, but my goodness, this video that's going around, these kids got arrested up in Chicago, four, 18-year-old black kids kidnapped a mentally disabled white kid, took him to the house. And by all accounts, up to 48 hours, like tortured this guy, like tied him up, duct taped his mouth shut, slashed his scalp, kicked him, beat him, made him drink toilet water. And they were screaming, you know, F Trump, F white people, all this stuff, and just laughing. And there's people where the you could hear the person videotape and just cracking up, going, "You goof." Like, you know, "Oh, my sister said this ain't funny." And he's like, "Well, it's funny to me." I mean, this kid is, he's mentally disabled. I mean, he's not even like, this guy can do anything. And they tortured this kid for 2 days because the kid was white and they wanted to, I don't know what they wanted, to make a point. I don't know, get famous. But then here's this idea about they, and this is what I want to talk about a little bit, is they live streamed it on Facebook Live for 30 minutes of the 40 up to 48 hours of abuse. The kid was gone for 48 hours. They Facebooked it. They Facebook lived this torture. I'm like, I just don't understand that. I think that there's so much there. So when I get back, I want to talk about that for a little bit. And depending on how long that takes, I've got a couple of little things I want to throw out there too. Someone who just died that I think has an important thing to teach, an important insight to teach us. Anyway, so let's, when we get back, we're going to go back into this the Chicago thing a little bit. And so anyway, you're listening to The Counterposition. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley.
Then all the color glass that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counterposition, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dope.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so we're talking about this thing that just happened in Chicago, and this is still happening. They just arrested these kids, charged them. Four kids. I call them kids. I mean, they're 18 years old. They clearly are kids. They're not, that you can hear the way they talk and the way they make decisions and stuff. They're like, you know, juvenile delinquents, teenage, you know, middle schoolers or something, the way they sound. But four black kids, if I remember, it was like two boys, two girls, and they stole a van, kidnapped a white, mentally ill, mentally disabled. I don't know. They didn't say what his deal was or whatever. He's just like, you know, he has some kind of developmental disorder. I don't even know what's appropriate to say anymore. This, you know, I used to work with developmentally disabled people, and it was okay to say developmentally disabled. Now they probably want us to say differently abled or whatever. And at that time, saying that someone had mild MR, in the sense of like mild mental retardation, was like a technical term. But like now you're not supposed to say the word retardation or retarded or anything like that. So that's considered like some kind of slur or something. But when I was working in that world, that was a technical term that had to do, you know, I had one kid who was like really, really autistic, but only autistic. I had one guy who was mildly autistic, but had kind of like moderate to severe mental retardation. Is a two totally different things, right? You know, that was a distinction. Anyway, I'm saying in advance, I don't know what you're supposed to call that. The guy wasn't functioning as humans are normally designed. He wasn't functioning normally or normatively. You know, he's got some kind of developmental disability. And they got this kid and they tortured him for 2 days, up to 2 days. They had him for a couple days, looks like. So he's missing. They stole a van, took this kid to someplace, tied him up, and tortured him for 2 days. Now, that's bad enough. And, you know, and you see that, but then they Facebook lived and they knew they were live. It wasn't like someone was doing it and the other guys didn't know. They were doing it on purpose. They were broadcasting this. Now, you have to be, you're outside of the normal world of just like criminal behavior at that point, because using Facebook Live, you're now knowing you're going to get caught. You just kidnapped and tortured a kid for 2 days, and then you do it with just undeniable evidence live on the internet. And there's people saying on the comments, that ain't funny, that ain't right. And you're reading those comments, you're reading people protesting that what you're doing is not right, acknowledging what they're saying, that it's live, and then saying, what's funny to me? I mean, at that point, are people, you know, and I see this sometimes, usually it's in an urban setting. Usually it's like inner city kids, and they'll like punch someone out. Like, remember the knockout game that was going on for a while, and they were filming this stuff and putting it on the internet. Do you not understand cause and effect? Are we not even on one side? I don't know what I'm more worried about, that our kids are morally so twisted that they think it's a good idea to knock out an old man on the corner or to torture some mentally disabled kid, or whether they don't have the logic skills to not have enough common sense not to broadcast it live. I don't know which I'm more worried about. I mean, it's like there's always been bad people, but we got people that just don't even have logic anymore. They don't want to get, do you want to get caught? No. So what'd you do? Man, we put that on the internet. Why would you do that? And it, the reason why that freaks me out is that looks like a level of like narcissism that is now greater than the instinct for self-preservation. I mean, you have to get to a pretty crazy level of wanting to be seen, or some kind of like wanting to be famous or something, to be willing to get in that much trouble just to get your name in the news. But I doesn't, when you see these guys doing this, they always seem like they're shocked when they get caught. And when these guys were doing this in this little clip of the video they showed on the news, they didn't seem like they were doing it to show themselves off. It just seemed or like they were trying to grandstand or, you know, brag or something. Like you see sometimes, like that one guy did the, it was a Facebook Live video, and he was flashing all these guns around and stuff and threatening Trump and saying he's going to kill Trump and saying that ISIS done called and wanted him to join that, you know, and then he got busted for basically stealing all those guns from a nearby gun store. You think of that's like, well, we just didn't think that they'd be able to kind of see these guns, then come look for them, and then check the serial numbers. That just didn't occur to us. We were just making a crazy video, right? Now they got in trouble. These guys seem like they're doing something that anyone who had any sense at all, anyone who had any just self-preservation, even so they could do more evil. You know, you see like a serial killer or something goes and kills somebody, and then he cleans up the scene, he gets rid of the knife or whatever, and he's not wanting to get caught. Now, some killers have like taunted the police or something like that, but rarely do you have someone who's just like that epitome of evil that goes out and does that and makes himself get caught. You know, usually they're like trying, they have a self-preservation in the sense they don't want to die. They don't want to be stuck in jail, and they don't want to, they don't want to be prevented from doing more harm because they're evil or whatever. They're crazy. Maybe it's just different forms of crazy. I don't know, but it's like, I see this kind of stuff and I'm just like, gosh, you know, I mean, you see like there was a terror cell in Turkey. They did this crazy nightclub shooting over there, and now they're like arresting all kinds of people, and they know who the shooter was and they're looking for him. And as I came on the air, there was breaking news about like, you know, some more an explosion in Turkey and stuff. It looked like there might have been another terror attack. And on that level, you're like, okay, these are people with either a religious or a political agenda of some kind, and they see themselves as some kind of a militant fighting for some kind of cause. Now, I think that's horrible, and I don't understand that. I don't understand being like that, but at least in the categories of like human action or something, I can see, like, I can make sense of that. I can go, okay, look, you attacked my country. I am, or my people or whatever. And I'm trying to fight back in a way to scare you, so you'll leave and stop doing, let us live our lives the way we want to live them or whatever. Okay, great. You know, but when you just see some kids just capture and torture some kid, now that makes no sense to me at all, especially because in some way you want to think, okay, you know, if it wasn't like they captured some redneck that had a Confederate flag on the back of his truck and was running around screaming, go Trump or something like that. They didn't capture someone who might have been active in some way in the movement that they're against. It was a kid who was mentally disabled. I mean, literally the only thing that this kid had that they would want to torture, and this is based on their own, the stuff they were shouting in the video, is that he was white. And I mean, but this kid couldn't, he clearly isn't a free moral agent or like taking part in any kind of like movement or something. The guy can barely communicate, according to the cop, sounds like. That's just despicable. And then what freaked me out is there were people on the news that were refusing to say that this was evil. Now, I get what they were trying to say. It does seem like so childish. The way they did it is so illogical and it's so childish that you just almost, you want to believe that there's got to be some kind of trauma or some kind of such a deep lack of mentoring or raising that these kids are basically like Lord of the Flies, like they've raised themselves and they don't have any sense or something. But you just want to have at least hope and pray that there's some kind of default humanity that no amount of neglect or no amount of lack of, you know, affirmation or guidance could, you know, could root out or something. There you go. That's what I'm thinking about this afternoon, is I'm just literally looking there. It's very rarely that I see, increasingly not rare that I see something that I'm like, I just literally can't wrap my head around that. Now, I'm not a violent human being. I've never been a violent human being. When I get mad, I've been known to punch a steering wheel or something like that, or yell or get ticked off or like throw something, but I'm more likely to shut the door and break down crying or something than I am to hit someone. I've just never been a fighter. I've never been a violent human being. The idea of like causing harm like that, like slashing someone's scalp that I hate or something, like the way that they did that kid in that video, that literally makes me sick to my stomach. Like I want to throw up. I mean, it really freaks me out. So I don't know. I see stuff like this and it's not like, I mean, it's terror stuff over there. It's like they're planning a bomb, or at least they're shooting a gun off into a crowd, or they're planning a bomb and leaving, or they're walking in and blowing themselves up. There's not a deep intimacy, but to have someone tied up in your house for 4 days like that, right there and be with them, man, I literally cannot comprehend how a human being could do that, or why it could possibly motivate them to do that. Anyway, there you go. How's that for a shift towards the dark in my show today? Let's pull the plug and pop the cork on another episode of The Counter Position. We'll see you on the other side.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.